Well, it is a privilege to be here, and I trust that God will meet with us and bless us as we look at his word together. Matthew 14. I'd like to look at Matthew 14 and from verse 22, the account there, and it's related to what I was saying this morning about Jesus the King. And I want to show you how it's there, it's even here, there's hints of it, and we can see it as we're looking at this passage. Jesus, here the King. Matthew 14, verse 22. Jesus has just done this amazing miracle of feeding these 5,000 people there. It's Passover time. Politically, it's, it's a tinderbox, really, the time here. John the Baptist has just been beheaded, and Herod is saying, oh, who's this Jesus? Is he John the Baptist come back to life? And there's stirrings, isn't there? And what happens here, if you looked at all the accounts, I'm basing the account of this time when Jesus comes to them in the boat, on this passage, but there's others. It's in Mark, it's in John. So I'm bringing some of them together. Because when we bring John in, you realise here that politically, it's on a knife edge. You get the hint of it immediately. Jesus is really concerned. He's got to do something quickly because things are going to happen immediately. Get him into the boat. The disciples, quick, it's immediately. He dismisses the crowd. Now, John tells us it's because the people wanted to make him king. You see, they wanted Jesus as king here in this situation. And, the possibility is the disciples, we see there, really, I was going to use a Welsh word, tup, but I won't. They are so like us, so slow of heart. The danger is they would have gone along with the crowd. They might have gone along with them. And Jesus might have had a situation here that escalated into something big, you know. And so they wanted to make him king. And you think of the situation, really. It's Passover. He just fed 5,000 people. He's healed. To have him as a king against the Roman armies, to heal the wounded, to feed, if any sieges came, he could feed. You imagine the situation here, the possibilities that these people saw Jesus here, the king. He's going to be a king for us. We want him as a king. The possibilities here of this kingship. This kingdom that could arise here, you see, and it's clear, and the Lord Jesus knew of the situation. He could see it happening here, and so it says immediately after this miracle. And isn't it interesting? I haven't seen any comment on it in any of the commentaries. Perhaps afterwards you can tell me. You know, the 12 baskets. There's 7 later. Remember the next lot. There's 7. The 12. Basket. I mean, could you imagine if you were there now? Here's a king for us, for Israel. The people are saying, here is our king. Look, he's fed 5,000 and look at what we've got left. We'll have a king to see us through, to fight the Romans, to deliver us. And Jesus, immediately, he gets his disciples into the boat and he tells them to go across the sea. Now, forget about the geography. You can sort out all the commentaries about the actual geography. Forget about that. We won't get bogged down with the details. Going out, the storm might have come. They might have been knocked off course. But he sends them out immediately. See, the Lord Jesus didn't want them to face that difficulty. He didn't want them. They couldn't cope with that difficulty. They couldn't face that particular problem. They weren't ready. He's going to protect them. Get out of the way, quick, in the boat, go. And he dismisses powerfully how he did it. The crowd, usually the disciples dismiss the crowd. But here he sends them away. Now what I want to show you, just to see here in these events, see something of the sort of king Jesus is. The sort of king. You see, yeah, it's not, it doesn't... The theology of it isn't deep, written out here, but you can see it, we can see it. The sort of king, some things about his real reign, his real kingship, that he is. He's going to become king. He is our king. As we were looking this morning, he is reigning, but the sort of king. So here, he's protecting them. He's protecting them from this event, but he's sending them to another problem. See, he knows. Now, it's not a desperate storm. The wind is going to rise, but it's going to be hard for them to get where they want, where he's told them to go. The waves are going to get large, and the wind is going to be a little bit contrary. But can you see, look what our king does. The sort of king that Jesus is. He protects us from dangers that we can't face, that we couldn't cope with. And he allows others that we go into, we struggle through them, but that's his sovereign determination. He's allowing one lot, he's sending them there on the ship, sending them across the water, protecting them from others. Immediately he sends them out. You see? Isn't that amazing? I don't know what life you have, what sort of experiences. I was preaching this last before the trough and telling them, we don't know what's going to come. We don't know what's going to happen to us. I don't know what's going to happen to you. But I know this, that the Lord Jesus, who is King, will stop the problems that would kill you and destroy you. That he will allow, but doesn't mean he's going to allow it an easy course, a safe sailing. But those are the ones that he sovereignly will allow. He is the King. He determines. You see, even the trials and the difficulties, he lets them go. He sends them out onto the ocean. That's the king we have. I don't know what's going to happen for the next year in my life. But whatever happens in your life, it's the king. See, he's in control. And here, he's protecting them. And he sends them out onto the water. He sends them in the boat. But look what he does. And he goes. Now, what sort of king? What's he going to do as king? He ascends the mount to pray. To pray. You know, I mean, some commentators have said they see something here. You know, of the Lord Jesus now in heaven. He's controlling, but he's praying. He's praying for his kingdom, the success of his church. He's going to be praying for that, isn't he? And I mean, the church wasn't very big. Most of them were in the boat, weren't they? That was, I mean, there were a few others, but that's where they were. Most of them were there. I mean, today, the church is universe, worldwide. But there he is here, goes up onto the mountain to pray. The king is praying. Now, you know that how our king can pray. He can pray because he is God's priest. He is the high priest. He's done everything to reach that position, that throne. How has he reached that throne? Well, he's come as a human being. He's lived a perfect life. He did what Adam failed to do. He did what Israel failed to do. He's perfect. He died a death that none of us could die, bearing sin. He went into hell. And he conquered, he answered God's justice. He rose from the dead. That's how he's become king. It's a different sort of kingship, isn't it? It's not through power and might. It's not the king that these people wanted. But here's Jesus going to pray now. He's going up into the mountain to pray, and that's what he's doing. He's the king who prays. There are more little boats than Clydach, thank God, isn't there? There are more churches all around the world, some big. But he's praying. He's praying. He's praying. He is praying. Right, you all listen to this. He is praying for the trials that he's appointed for you in the next few months and next years, that you will be able to survive them. That's what he's praying for. He's praying. And there he is. He goes up onto the mountain to pray. And now, the amazing thing is, here, if you read the other accounts, it says he saw them struggling in the boat. King Jesus. He sees us. He can see now. He's a different sort of sight now. He hasn't got to have a Hubble telescope or whatever. He doesn't need that, does he? He can see us. But here on the mountain, he didn't need any. It wasn't a spiritual thing. It was Passover. It was a full moon. He could see them on the boat. And there's the king, look. He's gone to the mountain to pray to the Father. And he's got his eyes on us. He's looking down on his people. He's looking down on that boat. He can see them struggling. And he's there, he's praying. That's the king. Is Jesus praying for you? Is he praying for you? Is he praying for me? If you've come to him, see, and trusted him, he'll pray. And I tell you, if he prays for you, you'll make it. You will make it. Whatever happens and whatever problems come, whatever Satan brings to sift you, you will make it. If he, the king, and he sees us. See, he's the king there in heaven now, in Zion's, on Zion's mountain. That's higher than all the mountains of the earth, isn't it, of the universe. And he sees, and he prays. And there he is. This is the sort of king Jesus is. And he sees his people, but he sees them struggling. He sees them in difficulty. See, and verse 24, look, the boat was in the middle. And it was in the middle. It's not, you know, or on the shore, some people say, so that he could just walk on the, when he comes later to walk. No, it was in the middle. It was really just a couple of miles out, wasn't it? They were struggling now. Wasn't it a huge storm? But they were going the wrong way. Problems and difficulties. Like us all, isn't it? But Jesus is here. Jesus is involved. There's hope, you see, because of the Lord Jesus. So he sees. Now what does he do? The boat was, now verse 24, was in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, with the wind, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch, he waits till 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 till 6 o'clock. See, you might say, if you those problems that I told you you're going to go through, you know, you think, oh, when they start, Lord, are you going to finish them now? Is it now, Lord? Is it now? No, he's got the right time. He comes at the right time. It's the right moment that he'll come. Those trials that he's appointed for you, there's a time when he will come. There is a time. And at he comes. See, this king comes. Isn't that glorious? Jesus can come. Isn't it wonderful? That's our hope. You know, this king, this glorious king, can come. Now, he comes in his kingdom now. He doesn't come in this exactly the same way, does he? I think, it's interesting, isn't it? I think he's all the way through, and particularly after the resurrection, he's trying to teach them that I'm with you, but you don't see me. Lord, I am with you always. There were times he appeared, didn't he, to wean them from the physical. To teach them that, yes, he can come by the Spirit, and the Spirit brings all that the Lord Jesus is. But not for them to be dependent upon the Spirit, upon the visual and the they can touch and feel and see. But he comes, and so he comes, but he comes here, really. He really comes to them. I mean, the Lord Jesus by the Spirit could come. You wouldn't see him. You would feel him and know him. You would know his presence. I was saying when I was converted at 13, at 18, do you know my first, I shouldn't boast, do you know my first church? I was 18, I had never sat under preaching. I had never sat under any preaching. When I came back after call, the first pastor was called to Neath. But I'd know the first preaching I sat under, the first year was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in London, for a year. The Lord Jesus came by the Spirit. There were times there, you were just, he was there. Really. Awesomely. He can come. You know, he can come. But the Lord Jesus here comes physically. Isn't that tremendous? He comes. Now, it's very interesting what he does. He comes, verse 24, look. In the fourth, he came to them walking on the sea. Oh, and they laugh. Oh, don't they? The skeptical scientist. How can you walk on sea? How can you? I can remember in a physics class. How old was I? Was it in the first year, second year? And I can remember I wasn't a comic, that, you know, surface tension. And, you know, you can float things on water, can't you? And, you know, you turn it on its side, it sinks. And how is that? And me, well, there's a hole in the water. You know, that's the only thing I could think of. But your surface tension, I don't know the physics of it. It doesn't really matter. He walked to the boat over the waves. He came. Of all those circumstances, we can spiritualize it, yes, but it's real. Jesus came. He came to them, walking on the water. I can remember a chorus we sang in the 70s. Oh, what choruses there were then. Yeah, but I can remember one. Here comes Jesus. See him walking on the water. Here comes Jesus. He can cause you to stand. Here comes Jesus. He's the master of the waves that roll. Here comes Jesus. He can save your soul. And it's true. He comes walking on the water to them. That's the king you have. See? And he's coming physically here in a real way. He's sovereign. You know, and those disciples, it's interesting, isn't it? If you read Mark's account, and you read the account of the when they feed the 4,000, they still, it says, there's one account, it's a little bit, it seems as if it's contradictory. Here it says, they were in amazement and said, truly this is the Son of God. And in Mark's account, it says, they were amazed. And the comment by Mark is, because their hearts were still hardened. And they didn't know, they'd forgotten about the loaves. Now, whatever that means, it's probably, you see, they're learning, and they go back and learn the same lesson, they go back and learn the same lesson, they go back and learn the same lesson. This king, he's great, this person that they see before them, this king, the Son of Man has power and authority to heal, to do miraculous things. And they see it, some are seeing it, some are not seeing it, and see it a little bit more and a little bit more, and they can't cope with it. You know, they start crying out. They cry out in a minute. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. But here's Jesus coming to them. Now, the amazing thing is, if you read Mark, it says in Mark as if he to go past the boat. I struggle a little bit with that. Here he comes. I mean, we've got to take all the accounts together, haven't we? That in Mark, to go past the boat. Is it the Lord Jesus is trying to teach them? Well, you don't need me in the boat. I'm not even going to change the storm. I come, I pass by. And apparently there's a hint of some of the, you know, in the Old Testament, the theophanies, you know, the passing by. God passing by, his glory, something of his glory. And is it that the Lord Jesus is teaching us now, his kingship now, he doesn't come visibly, he doesn't come so that we can see him, but he passes by, and he's going to pass by the boat here to show them, to encourage them. It's me. He says this later, doesn't he, when they cry out, it's me. You can believe me. I'm the creator. Created bread. I rule the waves. You don't need me in the boat. Just believe. Trust. That's all you need. You're going according to my word. I told you to be there. Trust. You know, and they thought it was a ghost. You know, a spirit. You know, what's happening? I don't know. I do in a sense. They've lost contact with, you know, with the Lord Jesus. I mean, as a young Christian, years and years and years ago, when you trust the Lord Jesus, you can verbalize it better later, but, I mean, he's the meaning of everything. Someone has said, haven't they, that there's no facts, only the interpretation of facts. There's no fact. And someone has also said that every fact has its meaning in the Lord Jesus. That everything. It says, you know, that in him all things hold together. Now that's physically, that this whole universe, is held together. Whatever gravity is, whatever this universe is held together. But everything, the meaning of everything is in Him. See, in the Lord Jesus, He's the meaning of everything. I used to teach by all, and it used to annoy me. You know, what's the use of a tree? Make oxygen. Do you know what the reason for a tree is? Do you know the reason for it? For His glory. That's the reason for everything. And here, you know, when I was young, spooks and UFOs and things, some of you, you know, think, what on earth? But yet, in the context of Him. I mean, I don't know. When I was a young Christian, yeah, there's good and bad, good spirits, bad spirits. You know, but it was in the context of the Lord Jesus, that He has the meaning of everything. But here, the disciples, they don't know Him. See, and they're afraid. They're scared. Are you scared by these things and different things here? You know, all these. They were scared. But the Lord Jesus, see, a Christian, whatever. There's lots of things I don't know. There's a multitude of things I don't know. But He knows. He's got the answer for everything. He interprets everything. And sometimes I get fear. No, hang on a minute. Him. The Lord, well, they didn't see Him like that. I mean, sometimes we've got to learn to see Him like that, haven't we? But there He is. He passes by. It's a ghost. They're afraid. And they call out, and He says, it's I. It's me. It's the Lord Jesus. I think what was happening was this. He was giving them, He was making Himself available to them. Wasn't He? He was coming available to their faith, to strengthen their faith. If they believed, if they remembered what He had done, what He was doing, they could trust Him in the boat. They could trust His word. And they could go on. Because He was there. Didn't need to get in the boat. But it's the Lord Jesus. And you know, He comes like, and he's sort of teaching us that this is His kingdom. When things are difficult, and there's fears and problems, the Lord Jesus comes. How does He come? How does He pass by? Well, when God's word is preached, He passes by. Do you understand? Perhaps He's passing by. You're amazed, but don't understand it. The Lord Jesus passes by. He comes by the Holy Spirit and passes by. You know? And they called out, and they didn't see that, and their hearts were still hardened. But Peter, you see, Peter, now, of course, Matthew mentions Peter, Mark doesn't, because Peter was the one who probably told Mark what to write, so he didn't tell him to write that. But Mark says that as the Lord Jesus was passing by, Peter is affected. If it's you, Lord, if it's you, not a ghost, if this is you, perhaps he was reaching a level of more than the others at this point. Perhaps something was dawning him. Later it falls back again, doesn't it? But perhaps something was dawning. This is the Lord Jesus. If it's you, as you're passing by, tell me to come to you. Tell me to come to you. You know, sometimes I wonder with churches, perhaps the Lord Jesus passes by. And we leave Him go. You know, years of someone in the church, the Lord Jesus is passing by, and that's not enough. He's got to be with Him. See, he loves the Lord Jesus. He wants to be with Him. He wants the reality of His presence. He wants to get out of the boat. He wants to be with the Lord Jesus. And as he's passing with the others, confused and comforted by the word, perhaps. But here's Peter. Lord, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat. Oh, let me ask you now. I don't know how you come here this evening. I don't know if you're a Christian or not. The Lord Jesus, now, he's a different king now. He comes by the Holy Spirit. And as the word is preached, he passes by. He passes by. And has he passed? Let me show you. Has he passing by? Quote the scriptures to you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, hears Jesus passing by and opens the door, I'll come in. Are you like Peter? That as he passes by in your heart says, I must have him. I must have him. I don't want this coming here and doing something. I need Him. It's Him. As He passes by, I've got to be with Him. Has the Holy Spirit done that in your heart? Has He made you feel that? Or can you live without Him? You're just in the boat and everything amazes you and you're confused and frightened by a lot of things. Confused, you never know, never understand, are there aliens up there with ghosts and all these different things? You know, and here's the real, the Lord Jesus, who has the meaning of everything. And it was true. And in the gospel, He passes by and we leave Him go. We leave Him pass by. But perhaps there's someone here saying, no, as the Lord Jesus, He's not physically passing by, because this is the way He reigns now, this is His kingship now, but He passes by in His word. Are you in your heart saying, Lord, I want You. My life is like a sea tossed and problems and difficulties. I can see the storms. I can see the difficulties. I can see the difficulties I'm in. I'm struggling. I'm struggling to do what is right, even if perhaps it's not what You were telling me to do, but I'm still struggling. But I want You. I want You. Is there anybody here who's saying that in their heart? Yes, I want the reality. And this is what Peter said. Lord, if it's You, tell me to come to You. And Jesus immediately says, Peter, come. See, He said immediately, come, Peter. It's Me. And Peter's out of the boat. And I tell you this, you don't have to ask the King if He wants you. You don't have to ask this King who's passing by in His word if He wants you. He wants you. He wants you to come to have your sins forgiven. He wants to fill you with His love. He wants you. He commands you, in fact. Come! As He passes by. And here is Peter, jumping out of the boat. Forget the sea, forget the waves. I've got to get to Him! Is that you? Oh, no. Wait till I, later, perhaps. I'll call upon Him. I don't. Well, you don't really want Him. Pray that the Holy Ghost will open your eyes, give you a heart that's not hardened. Open your eyes to the glory of this person. And want Him. And you know, as I said, you don't have to ask if He wants you. He does. Are you going to get out of the boat? I mean, the storm is in the boat as well, isn't it? The boat is in the storm. The storm is outside. It doesn't matter where you're going to go. If you accept the Lord Jesus, it doesn't matter. It'll probably be worse. Probably there'll be some more difficulties, but it doesn't matter. The storm's all the way, isn't it? But He wants you to get out of the boat and to come to Him. Everything aside. So isn't it an amazing step? You know, Peter, when on the word of the Lord Jesus, Peter, come, he put his foot on the water. Isn't that amazing? You know, but it's not a leap of faith, is it? You know, some people say, a leap of faith. No, it's the more certain, it's sure. I'll tell you, God's promises. That water was made firm for Peter, but God's promises. If you get out of the boat on His promises, they are certain. Let me give you some. Whoever comes to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Certain. Get out of the boat then. On the promises of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, out of the boat to Him. And it's Him. See, it's Him we want. It's Him, isn't it? You know, along the way, Pastor Mark was saying about learning things. It's one of the greatest lessons I've learned today. Isn't it, Christians, they want the Lord Jesus for different things. And not wrong, for help. For friendship, for healing. They want, and we more in the other side, want Him for the benefits of our, forgiveness and being clothed with His righteousness. But you know, the amazing thing is that it's not the benefits He offers. It's Himself. As Calvin said, He offers Himself clothed with all the benefits. It's Him. If you have Him, you have everything you need. And He says to you, get out of the boat, come to Me, I'm passing by. I'm passing by this evening. You need Me. And Peter jumps out. And he goes towards the Lord Jesus. And I know the Lord Jesus, and kind of some commented and said, oh, Peter was very stupid, and it was totally wrong. No! It thrilled the Lord Jesus. Peter, Peter starts sinking, didn't he? Peter, where's your faith? Your faith is small. You know, the Lord Jesus would have been thrilled if he had walked on the promises, believed the promises, and got to the Lord Jesus. It would have thrilled him. You know, when are you going to get to heaven? Some things are going to make us ashamed that we didn't believe God more and trust his promises more. And Peter there walking on the water, going to the Lord Jesus, and he looks, doesn't he? It's still a storm, and there are still difficulties, and there are still problems, and he takes his eye off the Lord Jesus. And here's the most wonderful thing. I think this is what I was preaching, and this was tested. Here's the most wonderful thing. That Peter, even there, he's coming to the Lord Jesus, and he looks around, and he starts sinking. And the waves and the storms. We're all in it. Some of us are in it, and Jesus is out of the way. What a position to be in. You're drowning, and there's no one to help. And you will drown forever. But for a Christian who's drowning and struggling, the amazing thing is Jesus is there. You know, and I was saying this, that he's there. I remember saying it. I said, whatever happens and whatever difficulties, as a Christian, he is there. And what did all that Peter said was, in the problems and in the difficult, Lord, save me. Save me. Here's something for you Christians. I am not a prophet, but I know the scriptures. You will go through waters and trials and difficulties. Your greatest prayer, your only prayer, the prayer that will bring you to heaven is this. Lord Jesus, save me. And he will. You know, he will. He rests his hand out and he caught hold of Peter and pulled Peter and they went back to the boat. Oh, my dear friends, where are you? Are you struggling in the storm? Then the Lord, the King, is not near. You Christians. You know, are you trusting his promises? Oh, the amazing thing is whatever happens, he is there. Here comes Jesus, and he can lift you up, and he can cause you to stand. Lord, save me. You need that prayer. You will need that prayer, but it will be answered. Because Jesus, the King, he's here. Lord, I am with you always. We don't need to shout, or we don't need some great, you know, to get the distance to heaven. He's here by the Spirit. He's a hand away, look. He's a hand away. Lord, say, have you done that? Have you done that? Have you done that for the first time? Have you got out of the boat and asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, save me. Save me in the storms. And the amazing thing is that Peter, I don't know if you can read anything into this. You know, see, I said it was the church, was it? That's all the church was then. And there they are, the Lord appears, and their heart is hardened, and they don't see, and they're frightened, and they haven't got a view of his glory and greatness. And here's Peter. I mean, he's not much better, but he sees something in the Lord Jesus, and he goes to him. And when he's with the Lord, he goes back to the boat. He goes back to the boat. And you know, John says this. And here's an amazing thing. John says, so these hard-hearted Christians in the boat who were screaming when they thought it was a ghost, the word comforted them when Jesus said, it's me. But when they got into the boat, John tells us, got to the shore immediately. There was another miracle. Isn't that amazing? Put it down a challenge here for Christian. For non-Christian, get out of the boat for the first time. And you've call upon the Lord Jesus to save you from, I mean, there's a greater storm coming. The storms of life are hard and difficult, but there is a storm coming that blows everything away. And I tell you, if he doesn't save you in that storm, you will perish forever. But you Christians here, see, if one Peter, he got out of the boat, the Lord Jesus is passing by, he got hold of him. Isn't he? brought him back, and they were at the shore. Are you going to trust God's promises? Know the Lord Jesus. And as I said, isn't it, we are here, we say, oh, you know, these disciples are hard-hearted, they didn't. Do we? Do we? I'm just thinking of one thing. I've got to stop. Sometimes I just think of the Dr. Martin, one of the sermons. He said, every problem, Christian, you have, every single problem that you have is because you do not know God. If we knew God, these problems, they are really still problems. The storm is still there. But they wouldn't take us down and bring us into despair and the pit. If we knew the King, who is the image of God, if we knew God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, if we knew Him, that's what we've got. That's going to be our destiny for eternity, isn't it? To know this King. I mean, then He will resign the kingdom to the Father. When all the victory is won and God will be over all, the Lord Jesus there still will be the man, the God-man forever, and we will be for eternity learning about Him. But what about now? Perhaps you don't know anything of what I've said. You don't know ever calling upon this great King, the Lord Jesus, who has died on the cross, made us a sufficient sacrifice for all our sins, who has died there. You don't know what it is. You've never seen the storms and the dangers to call upon Him. You've never. But do it. He's passing by. I was 13. I was scared stiff. This is going to say something about education. I was an angel. I only had the cane 3 times in my school existence, so I was an angel. I mean, we had it. I mean, the boys in the 80s and 90s that I knew who had the cane. But when I saw something of the Lord Jesus, I can remember a night when I was 13, and I was afraid to go to sleep. Because I knew my heart, and people looked at me and went, oh, he's a nice boy, he's a good boy. But I knew my heart, that if I went to sleep, I would wake up in hell. Because in the light of this King, oh, we've all fallen short of His glory. We saw this morning, even our words, the idle words that have not brought glory to Him. We've lost it, fallen short of it. We all sin. We all need that hand of faith. Lord Jesus, save me. Have you? Have you done that? He's passing by. Don't let Him pass by. Don't let Him pass by. And on that day, you say, well, I was in the boat, I was there in the church, but He passed by, but I didn't call out. I let Him go. Don't be like that. Open your heart. Call upon Him. Trust in Him. Call to Him. Lord, save me. And you Christians, perhaps you're going through difficulties and trials. Well, you know it, don't you? But let me tell you. He saves. He is the King. That when we cry, when we come to, He leaves us come to the end of ourselves, doesn't He? At times we've got no other hope. But we call to Him. And His hand is there. And He lifts us up. Do you know anything? Do you know anything of that? Of this King? The Lord Jesus was there. He passed by. He was there showing them what He would be like. The sort of kingship that He would exercise. Reigning over authority. Reigning over the universe. Having a concern and coming even to His people. So that He was available. He's available. Isn't that glorious? This great Lord Jesus. Here this evening, He's available. He's available. Well, believe upon Him. Call upon Him.